Fifth parak of Avos, the fourth Mishnah. Asara nisyonos nisnase Avraham Avinu v'amad bekulo. Avraham Avinu was tested with 10 challenges, and he passed all, ahodia, to make known, kamehichi baso shel Avraham Avinu, how dear is Avraham Avinu. And Rabbi Yonah explains us this last line, kamehichi baso shel Avraham Avinu, that the purpose of these tests was to make all mankind know, l'galos l'brios, that Avraham Avinu was a Yorei Elokim, and a shalom b'chol hamidos, and complete in all his midos. So that was the intent of these nisyonos, to make known, kamen chibos l'Avraham Avinu, what's special about Avraham Avinu. As far as the 10 tests, so Rabbeinu Yonah gives one list, there are different opinions about which events are included in these 10 tests. Rabbeinu Yonah says the first was Or Kastim, when Nimrod threw Avraham Avinu into the Kivshon HaEsh and he was saved, even though it's not explicit in the Torah. That was the first test. The second test was the command to leave his land, Lech Lecha Me'artzecha, when the banishment instructed Avraham Avinu to abandon his family and his homeland and to go to Canaan. The third test was the famine in Canaan when he arrived, even though Kadosh Baruch Hu promised him that everything would be great when he goes to Canaan, and things were not great. He did not question Ribbono Shel Olam's instructions. The fourth test was when Paro took Sarah Imenu in Mitzrayim. The fifth was the battle with the four kings. The sixth test was Bris Mila at the age of 99. The seventh test was when Sarah Imenu was taken by Avimelech. The eighth test was when he had to evict Hagar and Yishmael. The Ibn Hashem said that's what he's supposed to do, and he did what he had to do. The ninth was Akedas Yitzchok, according to this calculation. And the tenth was the burial of Sarah Imenu. There are different opinions if the last Nisayin was the Akedah. According to Ben Yonah, the last Nisayin was the burial of Sarah Imenu. So these are the 10 tests that Avraham Avinu was challenged with. And the Mishnah says the purpose was to make known to all Brios that everyone should understand what made Avraham Avinu special and different from everyone else. Rabbeinu Yonah does not describe for us the concept of the Nisayon in and of itself. And for that, we go back to the Ramban's commentary by the Akedah, where the Pasuk says, V'ha'alokim nisa'as Avraham, that the Ribbono Shel Olam tested Avraham Avinu, inyan ha'nisayon hu l'da'ati, the purpose of the Nisayon, the idea of the challenge, in my opinion, bavur hayos ma'aseh ha'adam reshus mechletes b'yado, because essentially people have free will to decide what to do and what not to do. Im yirtzeh ya'aseh, im lo yirtzeh lo ya'aseh. If he wants, he'll do. If he doesn't want, he won't do. And therefore, it's called a nisayon mitzad hamanusa, from the perspective of the one in the challenge of the human being, it's a test, because he can decide what to do. And therefore, he's being tested. What will he do in this circumstance? Avraham Hamanase Yisparach, but the Ribbono Shel Olam, who prepares the challenge, so for the Ribbono Shel Olam, he knows the results in advance. It's not a test at all. Yitzav Abo L'Hotzi HaDavar Min HaKayach El HaPoel. The Ribbono Shel Olam created the challenge in order to bring from potential to reality. This person has an ability, has a potential, but without the challenge, it's unrealized. The challenge makes it possible for him to act and use his potential to do something. Lihios lo sachar ma'aseh tov, and in the end, he'll get the reward for the deed that was good. Lo sachar lev tov bevad, and not just the reward for the heart that was good. In other words, he has the heart and mind to do the right thing, but unless he actually is presented with a situation, he doesn't get the chance to do it. The nisayon is the opportunity for his lev tov to instruct his body to do the right thing, and then he will get schar for the ma'ase tov. The Ramban continues, V'dan, every one of us has to know, Ki Hashem tzadik yivchan, the Ribbono Shel Olam tests the tzadik, that's a pasuk in Tehillim. Kishu yodea b'tzadik, she'aseh ritzano v'chafes l'hatzdiko, that's only when the Ribbono Shel Olam knows the the tzaddik does the will of Hashem, and he wants to give the tzaddik the opportunity to shine. Yitzav osa b'nisayon. So therefore, he gives the nisayon. For the yivchan eser eshor mashalish, but the Baruch does not test or challenge the wicked who don't listen. So it comes out that all the nisyonis in the Torah are always for the benefit of the one being tested, the one being challenged. The Ibn Hashem is not going to test a Rasha. The Ibn Hashem is only going to test a Tzaddik, because the Ibn Hashem isn't out to cause problems for people. If he knows this person is not going to pass the test, he's not going to give him the test. So when we talk about nisyonis, the Ramban's definition of Nisayon is the Ribbono Shel Olam presenting the tzaddik with an opportunity to perform that which he's been practicing theoretically, so to speak, all his life, and now he has a chance to put it into action, and he'll get reward for his actions, as opposed to just getting reward for building himself up to the point that he would pass the Nisayon. And again, this is based on the Pasuk, Hashem Tzaddik Yivchan. The Ibn Hashem is only testing Tzaddik. The Ibn Hashem is not testing Rishoyim. The Ibn Hashem isn't testing people who will fail. Yeah.
Doesn't that sort of imply that you can never fail a test?
That's exactly what it says. That a person can never fail a test. However, there's a caveat. The caveat is, Kol nisyonos shebetayra l'tayra samanusa. Whenever the Torah describes a nisayon, it's for the benefit of the one being tested. Do we burn ishulaylam? Test tzaddikim. Hashem tzaddik yivchan. If the Ibn Shalom is giving the test, then the person will pass the test. The person doesn't know he'll pass the test. He has bechir chofshes. But the Ibn Shalom knows. When we see people who don't pass tests, when we witness, whether it's ourselves or others, who are challenged and fail, so we will say is that that wasn't a test from the Ibn Hashem. That wasn't something the Ibn Hashem prepared a special for this person, because the Ibn Hashem wouldn't do that if the person couldn't pass the test. So we find ourselves routinely challenged because we put ourselves in situations that are challenging. When you put yourself in a challenging situation, the Ibn Hashem didn't create this.
One of the examples I've heard of this is a girl decides to go to a co-ed camp, right? So if an assignment happens there, then it was her own challenge that she put herself in.
Mm-hmm.
But wouldn't Hashem have given her the challenge of deciding whether or not, like, Hashem knew that that was something that would challenge her and gave her that challenge?
I don't think so. The decision whether or not a person should attend an event that is inappropriate to attend is your decision. I don't think Hashem sent that Nisayon special order to this person. And when the person chooses to attend the event and then they're confronted by new challenges, this is all brought upon themselves. The problem is, do we have the ability of knowing which Nisayon is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu or not? It's very difficult. Perhaps illness is from the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's nothing anyone chose to do. So then we could say this is a nisayon from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What exactly that nisayon is hard to say. Ultimately, I could simply say the whole point of all the nisayonis is not to question HaKadosh Baruch Hu's plan. Because essentially, when Avraham Avinu came to Eretz Canaan by Hashem's instruction, and immediately was confronted by a famine and left Eretz Canaan, so we say he didn't question Lo Hir Acham Yidosav. He didn't question Hashem's master plan. So I think ultimately most nisyonos boil down to that: do we question the Ribbono Shel Olam or not? And if we don't question the Ribbono Shel Olam, then we've passed the test. If we question the Ribbono Shel Olam, then we have failed the test. That maybe is a little oversimplistic, because I'm taking it out of the realm of desires and lusts and wants and things like that. I'm putting it in a bigger philosophical scheme. But with Avraham Avinu, a lot of it had to do with his relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And his relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu was being potentially strained. And he didn't want the Akedah as well. He could have questioned the Ribbono Shel Olam, what does that mean? Why should I take my son to kill him? It's against everything you've taught me. He didn't question. He didn't ask. He accepted what HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructed. I think for the most part, I would distill the concept of Nisayon into that thought that the Nisayon is whether or not we question or complain against what the Ribbono Shel Olam is presenting us with or not. And if we accept what the Ribbono Shel Olam is doing, even though we don't understand it, that's passing the Nisayon. And if we don't accept it, that's failing the Nisayon. On the physical level, the daily challenges, I'm not sure that falls into the category of Nisayon of the Ramban, nor the Mishnah. The Ramchal does write in his Mesilas Yesharim that we are daily besieged by Nisayonis. We have Nisayonis all the time, every day. There are battles being raged to know Yetzer Tov, Yetzer Hara, our Seichel and our Guf, and these are constant daily struggles. I don't think that's the Nisayon of Ramban. It becomes semantics, how you use the word Nisayon. I don't think the Ramban is using it that way, or perhaps the Chumash is what my Hashem says in the Pasuk, Velkem Nisayas Avraham. So that Nisayon, that the Rambam is testing of Avinu, the Mishnah, according to Ramchal, there's Nisayonis every day. It's not 10 Nisayonis. Avraham says the 10 Nisayonis in a lifetime. I think maybe we are not tested more than once or twice in a lifetime from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's hard to say. Maybe it depends on the madriga of the person. I don't know. But the Ramchal would say we're constantly being tested. That's, I think, a different concept of Nisayon. The struggles of this world, the daily struggles, the daily battles of this world. I don't know if the Ramban would call that, or the Mishnah in this context would refer to that as Nisayon. That could be a simple Mechamas HaYetzer, we battle the Yetzer Hara, and therefore when we are confronted with a decision to attend an event or not, I'm not saying Hashem sent us that decision special as Nisayon from Hashem, that may be just a part of the daily Nisayonis that we're confronted with. And even if we would say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu presented us with this opportunity to do something wrong, I'm not sure that's the Nisayon either in this context. I'm not sure. Perhaps it is. Perhaps it isn't. But it doesn't seem to me that the Ramchal would work with this, because the Ramchal is saying we have constant tests. What Avraham didn't have constant tests? He was different than the rest of us. I'm sure he had the same test that we had. Different level, obviously. But if the Mishnah is singling out, these are the big 10 that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tested Avraham to show the world his Madrega, and Hashem wouldn't do it if he wouldn't be able to pass it. So that's a test that you cannot blame on human beings. That's not something that we press us into. And I suspect that even if a person does get invited to an event that perhaps he should not attend because it's inappropriate, somewhere along the line, he made himself available to that, either by connecting with people that he shouldn't have who now send the invitation. I mean, somehow they got a hold of him, and perhaps he did something to bring that upon himself at an earlier stage. So it could be, you could always trace it back to his own actions as opposed to something unique from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's the concept. The concept is there's a special Nisayon from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem will only test people who are going to pass the test. Hashem is not out to make troubles for people, and therefore if someone fails in the daily routine, various tests, I would suggest that that's not a HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent Nisayon, because he won't fail. That's the Yisayon, that's the concept. There is a problem with this concept, and that is, in the next Mishnah, well, it depends on how your Mishnayos are broken up, but it brings, Asara Nisyonos Nisu Avoseinu Es HaMakom Baruch Hu Bamidbar. There were 10 tests that our ancestors tested HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Midbar, like it says, Vayinasu Osi Ze Eser Pa'amim V'lo Shama V'koli, that 10 times they tested me and did not listen to my voice. That pasuk is in this week's parasha. That pasuk is by the Meraglim. Rabbi Yoina enumerates the 10 times Klal Yisrael tested the Ribbono Shel Olam. What does it mean to test the Ribbono Shel Olam? He says, the first time was when they complained to Moshe ben Hamavli in Kavar ben Mitzrayim, there aren't enough graves in Egypt, they took us to die in the Midbar. The second time, Vayilonu ha'amal Moshe le'imo manishtah, they complained to Moshe ben, what will we drink? The Hashem had to make a miracle, the bitter water turned sweet, they threw a piece of wood into it. The third test, they asked for lechem, b'shifteinu sir habasar, we had no food, and Hashem brought the slav. The fourth time, Hayesh Hashem b'kirbeinu mayin, is the Rebbeinu Hashem with us or not? And it brings the mashal of the child who's being carried by the parent, and he says to other people, do you know where my father is? Do you know where my father is? In the meantime, the father's carrying him, till finally the father puts him down and says, but you don't know where I am? And so too, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I carried you on Kaf and Nisharm, and now you're asking, Hayesh Hashem b'kirbeinu? So Hashem puts them down, and Amalek comes and attacks. The fifth time, they left over from the Mon, when they weren't supposed to. The sixth time, in Rephidim, there wasn't water for the Eda. The seventh time was the Maisa Ego. The eighth time, Vayahi Ha'am Kimis O Nimra Be'en Hashem. The ninth time, Kivris HaTaiva. And the tenth time, the Chet Meraglim. So he doesn't bring them in chronological order. Some of this is out of order. But essentially, you have all these complaints and grumblings of Klai Yisrael. What does it mean that they tested Hashem? They questioned, is Hashem here or not? What's going on? To go inside Egypt to die in the Midbar? There's nothing to drink, nothing to eat. And on and on and on. Each of these cases, one could argue, was HaKadosh Baruch Hu testing Klai Yisrael. And when the Mishnah says there were 10 nisyonis that our avos tested HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like the pasuk says, "Vayanasu osize esapamim," this is the 10th time. What it basically means is the Rebbeinu Hashem tested Klai Yisrael and they failed 10 times. 10 times they failed. Because it's not that they're testing, what do you mean they're testing Hashem? In each of these events, you know, you could maybe say testing Hashem is like, if Rebbeinu Hashem does this, then I know this is right, and if he doesn't, then not. I mean, we don't do that either. But that's not what's being described by Ben Yonah. That's not what's being described in the Pasuk. It's talking about the Meraglim, and Hashem says to Moshe, Ben, look what they're doing. 10 times they're testing. So I think the correct understanding is that the Rebbeinu Hashem tested Klai Yisrael. There were various challenges throughout the sojourn in the Midbar. And 10 times Klai Yisrael failed, the 10th being the Chet Meraglim. So the problem is, we just finished saying Hashem does not test if you're going to fail. The Rebbeinu Hashem doesn't put you in a situation that you're not going to be able to do the right thing. Hashem tzadik yivchan. Hashem does not test the reshaim who don't listen. So how could it be? How do you reconcile that with all the complaining and all the grumbling and all the chatoyim that occurred in the Midbar if Hashem doesn't test if you don't pass it? So there's a medrash, and I believe we can understand it, even when you think of some of the cases on the list. Take the Chet HaEgel. Chet HaEgel is one of the chatoyim. Did everyone do the Chet HaEgel? No, not everyone did the Chet HaEgel. The Meraglim. Were all the spies involved in saying Lashon Hara in Eretz Yisrael? No, Kalev and Yeshua didn't. And according to the Midrash, not everyone believed the Meraglim either. Or those who followed Yeshua and Kalev. Not everyone sinned with the Slav. Not everyone sinned with complaining on Moshe Rabbeinu about what to drink and what to eat. They left over from the Mon. How many people left over from the Mon? Dustin and Ephraim left over from the Mon. It wasn't Klai Yisrael left over from the Mon. 2 people left over from the Mon. So in all these cases, just examining them, we already see that this is not everyone failing. The Medrash basically says that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam tested Klai Yisrael, and some of Klai Yisrael passed, but not all of Klai Yisrael. And when the Mishnah says that there were 10 Nisyonos, Nisavasenos, Amokam, Bachub, and Midbar, and they failed, it doesn't mean all of them failed. If all of them would have failed, the Ribbono Shel Olam would not have put them in that situation. But the Ribbono Shel Olam will create a challenge for Klal Yisrael, where some of Klal Yisrael will pass, even if it means that some will not. Because clearly the Ribbono Shel Olam knows the result before the test is given. And that's what you see over here. Even though for an individual, like in Avraham Avinu or each of us in our regular lives, the Ribbono Shel Olam is not going to give us any sign that we cannot pass. He will not do it because he knows that we will pass, that he gives us an Nisayon, he wants to go Mikoyach HaLapoyol, that which we have potential should be realized, and we should get Schar, and all that stuff. That's for an individual. But when Klal Yisrael as a whole is presented with a challenge, there's no guarantee that everyone in Klal Yisrael will meet the challenge. There's no guarantee that everyone will pass. There's a guarantee that some will pass. The Ribbono Shel Olam is not doing it if some of them aren't going to pass. And in every case, there were those who did not fail. The Medrash specifically Shevet Levi, who was above a lot of these things. So Ribbono Shel Olam put this in a position, and they passed it. So it's true, a lot of Klal Yisrael failed in Nisayon. But the test was presented because of those that would pass. So the guarantee of Ramban that a person is only tested, the David HaMelech, the Pasuk, Hashem Tzadik Yivchan, is when it's an individual. On the personal level, you won't find such a thing as a person being tested by Hashem and failing, and if he fails, it's not from Hashem. But if you're part of a tzibur, part of a klal, and the klal is presented with an Nisayon, there's no guarantees. In those situations, you have to rise to the occasion. And of course, Hashem knows in advance who will and who won't, but that's not the point. The point from our perspective is there are no guarantees, and that's how I understand the Mishnah. 10 times are avos tested the Ribbono Shel Olam, which means essentially failing the test, questioning Hashem's plan, questioning why Hashem did this, but there are those who didn't. So perhaps if you want to put it in a more current perspective, perhaps we could say that the Holocaust was a tremendous nisayon to Klal Yisrael. And there were people who passed. There were people who failed. There were people who rejected the Ribbono Shel Olam after the Holocaust. And there were people who did not. And the Ribbono Shel Olam will present a Nisayon like that to Klal Yisrael for those who will pass, even though there will be those who do not pass. I think that's the message of this Mishnah. So that's the two. You have the 10 Nisyonos of Avraham Avinu, but then you have the 10 Nisyonos of our Avos. They questioned the Ribbono Shel Olam, but not everyone. Not everyone questioned the Ribbono Shel Olam. Each of those Nisyonos, there were always those who accepted the Ribbono Shel Olam's decree.